Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala seyyidil mursalin. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. A mother's regret. Attar's prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 21-page booklet, A Mother's Regret, make their parents pleased with them, forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen bijahi nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellences of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever sends salat upon me 10 times in the morning and the evening will receive my intercession on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A child's fear of Allah. Dear Islamic brothers, we are living in troubling times where parents are causing the ruin of their own children through so-called compassion. If a child wishes to rectify himself of his own accord, their pathways are obstructed. It is as though such parents are saying with their actions, why should we enter hell alone? We will take our children with us, mu'azallah. There was an era in which children were raised in the laps of pious mothers and in the compassionate shade of fathers who loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. These children grew into people who left such an impact on society that their incredible actions still captivate our hearts today. There was one such four-year-old Sayyid child who was crying in the marketplace, wishing to serve this member of the Prophet's family. A man asked, O child, what is the matter? If you want something, then give the instruction and I will bring it now. Hearing this, the young child's crying only increased in intensity, and he said, fear of Allah's wrath and of hell has enveloped my heart. The man replied, you are very young yet, so how do you possess so much fear? Remain calm, for children will not be punished. The child's fear suddenly became more pronounced, and he said, whilst crying, I have seen that to set fire to large pieces of wood, wood chippings are placed around them as they catch fire quickly. The larger pieces catch fire due to them. I fear that in order to burn major disbelievers like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab in hell, I will be used as touchwood. Dear Islamic brothers, do you know who that four-year-old was? It was none other than the shining star of the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Jafar al-Sadiq rahmatullahi alayh. Teri nasle paak mein hai bacha bacha noor ka, tu hai aine noor tera sab gharana noor ka. In your progeny, each and every generation is light. You are light itself. Your entire household is light. Explanation. The reviver of Islam, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, says, O light of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you are certainly light, and light upon light, and all those who will be born in your blessed lineage till the day of judgment, i.e. the Sayyids, are also light. O Prophet of Light, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, your entire household is light, light and light. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. regret of a mother who disheartened her child in religious matters. Parents should provide an environment for their children that promotes righteousness and acting upon the sunnah from the very beginning. Otherwise, if children become corrupt due to bad company, it can lead to irreversible damage. This servant of Medina, i.e. the author, Rufi Anhu, was told the following by his elder sister. An Islamic sister was crying and asking others to pray for her son to come to the right path. The poor woman was saying she herself caused his ruin. They had him join Madrasatul Medina to memorize the Quran. But whenever he would return after learning some sunnah and mention to them in the home, they would make fun of him. Eventually, his heart was broken and he stopped attending Madrasatul Medina. He now remains in bad company and has become a troublemaker. She is fortunate in that she has found the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami now. But she feels great regret over what will become of her on account of her son. Suhbate salih tura salih kunad. Suhbate talih tura talih kunad. Good company will make you pious, and evil company will make you wretched. The virtue of a sunnah-inspired gathering. Encourage your children to attend the sunnah-inspired gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami and attend yourself too. There are many blessings of such gatherings. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, there will be such people on the Day of Judgment who will neither be prophets nor martyrs, but the gazes of those who look at their illuminated faces will be dazzled. Seeing their station and proximity to Allah, the prophets and martyrs will express joy. A companion asked, O Messenger of Allah, who are these fortunate people? He replied, they will be people from various tribes and cities who would gather to remember Allah and would select pure words the way a person who eats dates chooses the best dates. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Heedless young man. Dear Islamic brothers, to fill your heart with the fear of Allah and instill love and devotion for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam into your soul, do away with the habit of sinning. Increase your passion for good deeds, make yourself an embodiment of the sunnah, and remain attached to the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Travel in Madani qafilas for at least 3 days every month and live your life acting upon the pious deeds booklet. Let us listen to an inspirational story for motivation. There was once an Islamic brother who, prior to his association with Dawat-e-Islami, would waste his time in the company of wayward friends. There was hardly a sin prevalent in society which he was not involved in. Pursuing women, harassing them, wasting the night in clubs, spending the day playing cards and billiards, and verbally attacking family members when they attempted to advise him had all become normal for him. He was living his life in sin when he was fortunate enough to come across someone who worked hard in offering him good advice. By the blessings of this, he found the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. By being around those who love the Prophet, he attained passion to do good deeds and avoid sin. Alhamdulillah, he grew his beard, adorned his head with an imama, gained the zeal to carry out Islamic works, and began distributing booklets of Maktabatul Madina to people in their homes. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Call to righteousness. Dear Islamic brothers, you just heard the immense blessings of individual effort. It led to a young man who was once heedless to become an ardent devotee of the Prophet. We should also make individual effort to invite others towards good. Whether they accept what we say or not, we will still receive the reward for advising them. If a person adopts the straight path due to our individual effort, then inshallah, we will also be successful. Bad company should always be avoided, as it corrupts a person and causes him to fall into many sins. Conversely, good company brings about positive results. It is stated on pages 18 to 19 of Maktabatul Madina's Acche Mahol Ki Barkate, a hadith narrated by Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu, explains how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said to him, "Shall I not guide you to the essence of something through which you will find the goodness of this world and the hereafter? Attend the gatherings of the people of Zikr." The Quranic commentator Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi explains this hadith saying, "The gatherings of those who engage in Zikr refers to gatherings of Islamic scholars, saints, the righteous and elect servants of Allah. This is because these gatherings are gardens of paradise. As mentioned in another hadith, by be they a madrasa, Quran and hadith studies, or gatherings of the Sufis. This hadith is comprehensive. Any such gathering which brings fear of Allah as well as devotion for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the longing to obey him is a beneficial gathering." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The kalima will benefit us as long as we. Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu explains how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah" will continue to benefit its reciters and distant punishment from them so long as they do not undermine its right. The companions alayhim ridwan asked, "O Messenger of Allah, what does it mean to undermine the right of the kalima?" He replied, "Yazharu al-amalu bima'asi Allahu fala yunkaru wa la yughayyaru." Acts of disobedience to Allah are apparent, and they are neither rejected nor changed. Eight parts of Islam. Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu reports, Islam has eight parts. Islam, Salah, Zakat, fasting in Ramadan, Hajj, enjoining good, forbidding evil, and striving in the way of Allah. He who does not have a part is not successful. Punishment in the world. Dear Islamic brothers, the nation which has the power to do so but does not stop those who sin is at risk of being subjected to punishment in the world before dying. As narrated by Jarir radiyallahu anhu, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "If a person commits sin in a nation and the people do not stop him despite having the power to do so, Allah will send his punishment upon them before they die." Punishment in the hereafter. It is stated in the exegesis of this hadith in Mirat al-Manaji. If there are people within a nation or group involved in wrongdoing and they do not stop them whilst they have the power to do so, they will also be deserving of divine punishment. They will experience punishment in this world prior to dying. The Hadith scholar Abdul Haq al-Dihlwi rahmatullahi alayhi said, falling short in rectifying a wrongdoing is distinct in relation to other crimes in that punishment, for other sins will be given in the hereafter. Whilst punishment for this wrong will be given in this world, this is an addition to punishment in the hereafter. Does your heart not tremble, O seeker of paradise's eternal bounties? Does your heart not tremble? Are you not overcome with fear? Allah is not in need of anything. What concern does He have if the people prostrate to Him or not? Undoubtedly, even if the entire creation bows in His court, nobody has any favor over Him. We should fear His independency and hidden plan, and seek refuge from being held accountable by Him. How long will we live in a life of pleasure in this world? Remember that we must all die one day, be lowered into a dark grave, and answer for what we did. Al-mawtun babun kullu nafsin dakhiluha. Al-mawtu qadahun kullu nafsin sharibuha. Death is a door which every living thing will enter, and death is a cup every living thing must drink from. The helplessness of the deceased. Dear Islamic brothers, how helpless will we be when our soul departs from our body? What a moment of powerlessness it will be when our expensive clothes are removed from our body. We are washed and covered in a shroud. What a moment of regret it will be when our funeral proceedings begin. The world for which we worked so hard our entire lives, sacrificed our nights and faced all types of dangers, the material wealth we struggled to earn and amass, despite the obstacles placed by the envious, the sturdy homes we built and decorated with all types of furniture, we will have to leave all these behind. Our expensive clothes will be left on hangers. Our car will be left in the garage. Our games, our means of entertainment, and every other possession will be left behind. Our helplessness will reach its peak when we are transferred from the temporary happiness of the world to a dark grave, and we shall be carried there on the shoulders of others. A grave's call towards righteousness. Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu once entered a graveyard with a funeral procession. He sat next to a grave and began to contemplate profoundly. Someone asked, O leader of the believers, why are you sitting here alone? He replied, a grave just called out to me and said, O Umar bin Abdul Aziz, why do you not ask me how I deal with those who enter me? So I asked for it to tell me. It said, whenever anybody enters me, I rip his shroud, sever his body into pieces, and eat his flesh. Will you not then ask me what I do with his joints? I asked for it to explain. It said, I remove the hands from wrists, knees from shins, and shins from feet. After saying this, Umar bin Abdul Aziz began to cry intensely. After recovering somewhat, he gave the following advice. My brothers in Islam, we are to live in this world for a very short time. Anyone who has some standing in this world will be disgraced in the hereafter. And he who is wealthy here will be poor there. The young will become old and the living will die. Do not let the world approaching you cause you to be deceived. For you know that it quickly departs. Where are the reciters of the Quran? Where are those who perform Hajj? Where are those who fast in Ramadan? In which state has the earth left their bodies? What have the insects of the grave done to their flesh? What happened to their bones and joints? By Allah, the non-practicing people who were on soft beds in the world and now in difficulty after leaving their families and lands. Their children are in the streets wandering from door to door, for their widows have married again and made new families. Their household members have taken possession of their homes and distributed their inheritance amongst themselves. By Allah, there are some fortunate amongst them, experiencing happiness in the grave, whilst others are facing punishment. O foolish one, how unfortunate! The one who is closing his father's, his son's, or his brother's eyes at the time of death, then bathes them, shrouds them, carries them on his shoulders, or buries them in the grave today. Remember, all of this will also happen to you tomorrow. If only I knew which side of my face will disintegrate first. Umar bin Abdul Aziz then began to weep until he fell unconscious. He left this world a week later. The proof of Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Ihya al-Ulum, just before passing away, he recited the following verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين. This abode of the hereafter we create for those who neither seek supremacy in the earth nor discord, and the good outcome is only for the pious. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The honored are disgraced. Jarir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu said, if the honorable people in a nation do not stop an evil which they have the power to halt, Allah then disgraces them. Severe is. Anas bin Malik expounded, whosoever hears of a certain person being involved in sin and does not stop him despite being able to, he will come on the day of judgment as a deaf person with severed ears. When is it a sin to not prohibit sin? Dear Islamic brothers, reflect on the above mentioned narrations. He who does not stop a person committing sin, despite having the ability to do so, will face disgrace and be raised on the day of judgment as a deaf person with severed ears. Keep in mind that if a person observes someone committing a sin and he has predominant assumption he will stop if prevented, then it is wajib, i.e. necessary, on such a person to stop him. If he does not do this, he will be sinful and liable to enter hell. A person faces many instances almost daily where he sees others committing sins due to ignorance or heedlessness. They think to themselves that if they stop him, they will not carry out the sin in mention. Yet, due to laziness or shyness, A person does not try to stop him, and thereby he becomes sinful and liable for punishment in hell. From my own experience, I can say that when those who wear impermissible rings, necklaces, etc. are advised, most of them will remove such items at once, and some have even been seen to be overcome with emotion and break their chains. It is true that not everyone can do this, and every person does not have such control over others. Yet, it is not difficult for the one who has some influence to prevent sins such as this. And in the case of one having a strong assumption that the sinful person will accept the advice, it will become wajib to prevent him. Gold rings are haram for a male. The son of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Mufti Mustafa Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, was very active in such matters. This is commented on by the scholar Arshad Al-Qadiri rahmatullahi alayh in his work, Mufti-e-Azam ki istiqamat wa karamat. The most painful thing for him to see was a Muslim opposing Islamic law. When carrying out the obligation of commanding good and forbidding evil, he would not differentiate between young or old, rich or poor, or the ruler and the ruled. Whether a person had the highest or lowest rank, his gathering was distinguished by the fact that if any of them wore a gold ring in it, he would have them remove the said ring at once. He would also gently explain to them that in the Islamic law system brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, it is haram for men to utilize gold in many cases. He would then, in a loving manner, go on to mention any other sin might last for a moment or two, but the wearing of a gold ring will continue to incur sin as long as it is on one's hand. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. In the form of monkeys and swine, those who adopt the company of people who do not offer salah utter profanities, backbite, tell tales, watch films, and are involved in all manners of sin, and do not stop them even though they have the ability to do so, should be fearful of what may happen to them. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam declared, by he who has power over the soul of Muhammad, some people from my nation will be raised from their graves in the form of monkeys and swine. They will be those who maintain ties with the sinful and did not prohibit them from sin whilst having power to do so. Faces resembling monkeys and pigs. Another narration mentions faces being transformed. Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu said, there will be some from this nation who will be raised in the form of monkeys and pigs, for they associated with the disobedient and did not forbid them from sin despite having the ability to stop them. After mentioning this narration, the scholar Abdul Wahhab al-Sharani rahmatullahi alayhi said, I say, if this is the state of those who mix with the disobedient, neither being heedless nor involved in sins themselves, then what will be the state of those whose limbs engage in sins? We ask Allah for His favor and kindness. Concern over minor spots on the face, but. Dear Islamic brothers, did you not feel concerned after listening to these two narrations? Just think, if spots or marks appear on a person's face today, he will quickly visit a doctor. When a person cannot tolerate a minor and temporary blemish on his face, he should think deeply about what will happen on the day of judgment, when his face may be transformed into that of a monkey or pig. This will happen if he does not stop a person sinning, despite being certain that they would stop if advised to do so. This is the case of the one who accompanies the sinful, yet does not prohibit them from sin. There is no telling of the consequences for the one who engages in sin himself. My darkened paths were illuminated. Dear Islamic brothers, to enter paradise, bring others towards this path, and save yourself and others from hellfire, remain busy inviting others to goodness. Take account of yourself every day, fill in the pious deeds booklet, and encourage others to do the same. Travel in Madni Qafilas 3 days every month and invite others towards this. Here is an inspiring story for encouragement. Prior to joining Dawat-e-Islami, an Islamic brother from Hafizabad, Punjab, Pakistan, was stuck in transgression, watching films, listening to music, and reading indecent novels were a part of his routine. He was so immersed in living carelessly that he would waste away his nights in the company of bad friends, and he had become a source of pain for his family. His elder brother, who was affiliated with Dawat-e-Islami, would try to advise him, yet he would not pay any heed to his words. The brother persisted in his efforts, and eventually it paid off. One day, his attention was uncontrollably directed towards his elder brother's gentle words, and he began to cry as if his fear-inspiring words struck him. Alhamdulillah, the veil of heedlessness was lifted from his eyes, and his heart suddenly filled with the fear of Allah. He repented of his sins at once and promised to lead an Islamic life. With the mercy of Allah, he began to attend the weekly Sunnah-inspired gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami with his elder brother. His brother also encouraged him to travel in Madni Qafilas to learn the Sunnah. And acting upon this advice, he is currently travelling in a 26-month Madni Qafila. It is all a result of a preacher's continuous individual effort that led a person who was once distant from practicing Islam to become someone who is now busy in rectifying himself and the people of the entire world. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, you have just listened to how the elder brother's constant individual effort eventually bore fruit, leading to the younger brother leaving behind his life of sin and becoming a traveler in a 26-month Madni Qafila. Islamic brothers should strive to make individual effort within the home and outside of it, thereby earning abundant reward. Do not remain behind in this great work. Individual effort is like a gold mine. The more you dig, the more gold you find. Meaning, the more individual effort you make, the more reward you will gain. The beloved Prophet Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "If Allah guides one person through you, this is better for you than having red camels." If even one person is guided through you, you will receive even more reward. For example, you will be rewarded separately if a person travels in a Madni Qafila or acts upon the pious deeds booklet. The more people that are guided by means of you, the more reward you will receive. Ensure to always invite towards righteousness. The final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Inna dala ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi." Indeed, the one who guides towards a good act is like the one who does it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. O Lord of the Prophet, for the sake of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, make us among those who do good and invite others towards it. Make us those who avoid sins and forbid others from it. Grant us entry into paradise without accountability, and bless us with the company of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam therein. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.